Welcome to the British Sports Car Podcast. Join me, Sarah, and Nick, our resident sports car expert, as we bring you all the latest news from the top tiers of British motorsport, including British GT, GT Cup, and Brit Car, as well as British motorsport interests from around the world.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the British Sports Car Podcast. My name's Nick Smith, I'm one of the two hosts. Sarah is unavailable for Donington Park, she has a wedding to attend, so I'm afraid you're left with just me for this one. But it's not just my voice, we've held back the audio from the Silverstone from the racetrack episode. We haven't released that episode so that we can have more than one voice in the show today. So our content for this episode then, we're going to take a look back at Silverstone and the results, although the results announced today aren't as final as we thought they were going to be. And then we're going to take a look at the few bits of news that have popped out in the past few days ahead of the second endurance round of the season. This is round four of the championship, a two-hour race on the Donington Park Grand Prix circuit this coming weekend. So without any further ado, let's take a look at some of the news.
British GT News.
So, Silverstone 500 then, the longest race on the calendar, and what a corker of a race it was. If you want a blow-by-blow of the race, go to our website, britscpodcast.co.uk, and look for the live blog of the Silverstone race, because Sarah was tapping away for 3 hours pretty much straight. There was so much going on in places that I had to jump in and help. It was just an astonishing race. Claimed in a really, really good move that started up at the loop and at Aintree and finished at Copp's Corner. So went on for more than a sector of the track, this effort to claim the top spot in the GT3 class. It was a really, really, really impressive move from the BMW junior team factory driver Dan Harper in the number 91. That is not to take anything away from Sandy Mitchell, the Lamborghini Squadra Corsa driver, who had the helm of the Barwell motorsport car, which at the time had the lead in class, lost out to the Century Motorsport car. It was a firm but fair battle between two professionals, and it was really worth the watch. Third place in GT4 went to Mark Radcliffe and Rob Bell, who were there or thereabouts all the way through the race, but fell a little bit away towards the end. And as I say, if you want a blow-by-blow, you can go to the show website and look at the live blog there. We're going to take a quick look at a couple of other cars here as well. Before we do that, let's take a look at the GT4 results. Optimum Motorsport, the number 90 car of Charles Clark and Jack Brown. The McLaren Artura GT4 took the victory on the Silverstone 500, followed home by the number 12 One Motorsport, Ed McDermott and Michael Broadhurst driven Mercedes-AMG GT4. Third place in the class went to Academy Motorsport, Eric Evans and Matt Cowley in a Ford Mustang, the number 61 car. But that's not how the cars finished on the road. And in the news section, I'll explain that a little bit more because it's all gone just a little bit formal. So those are the top three in each class. And as I say, if you want to find out more about what happened in the race, you can either watch the full race live replay on YouTube or visit our live blog. Two other cars that are really worthy of mentioning, and this is the number 56 Raceway Motorsport car of Stuart Middleton and Freddie Tomlinson, and the number 68 car Team Brit of Aaron Morgan and Bobby Trundley. The reason these two are raising to attention is because both were disqualified from the results of the race. The number 56 due to a pit lane infringement, followed by a judicial disagreement, we'll put it, and I'll cover that more in the news. The number 68 due to accident responsibility. Aaron Morgan lost control of the number 68 McLaren 570S GT4, ending up, he thought, buried in the gravel. Had a try to get it out after the three cars he knew were coming from Abbey up towards Village and Farm. So he saw those three cars coming. As they went past, he dropped the clutch to get out of the gravel, got more purchase than he expected to, and shot out onto the racetrack. Unfortunately for him, there's people say Silverstone is flat, but it isn't. There's a fair bit of elevation change between the corner at Village and the corner at Abbey. And hidden behind the three cars he knew about was a fourth car that he didn't. This was the number 67 car, the Orange Racing by JMH McLaren 720S GT3 Evo. Simon Orange and Michael O'Brien sharing driving duties there. 2 hours, 7 minutes and 5 seconds into the 3 hour race, they came round the corner. I believe it was Simon Orange that was at the wheel at the time, but I'm not 100% certain. And straight into their path appeared a GT4 car, and there was nothing they could do. It was guaranteed impact. Both McLarens were very heavily damaged and out the race on the spot. And as I say, there were disqualifications for Team Brit and a number of driver conduct points awarded to Aaron Morgan. Now, having spoken to Aaron, not on microphone, but having spoken to him, he's explained what happened. And I understand there are regulations, and that the regulations say that if X happens, Y has to follow. But it was a genuine mistake, and I don't see that driver conduct points are the right response to that. I'm going to run briefly through. I'm not going to give drivers. I'm just going to give number, car and team, or number, team and car even, for the order in each class. So in GT3, as we've said, number 91 Century Motorsport BMW M4 GT4 finished first ahead of the 78 Barwell Motorsport Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo. The 27 Optimum Motorsport car, McLaren 720S GT3 Evo, came third. And the number 97 Beach Dean Motorsport Limited Aston Martin Vantage AMR GT3 was fourth. Fifth place went to Ram Racing, the number 15, sorry, Mercedes AMG GT3, with the 72 Barwell Motorsport Lamborghini Huracan in sixth place, the winner in GT3 Silver Am. The number one car, the 2C's Motorsport Mercedes of finished in number seven, in seventh place, ahead of the number three car, the Greystone GT Mercedes AMG there, and then the number 50, another Mercedes AMG GT3 Evo, this one for DriveTac, that was ninth place and second in the Silver Am class. 10th place was the number 70 Inception Racing McLaren 720S GT3 Evo. It finished 8th in GT3 Pro-Am but does not score points. It was a guest entry. The number 4 car, 2C's Motorsport Mercedes AMG, finished 11th, 9th in GT3 Pro-Am, whilst the number 93 Sky Tempesta Racing McLaren finished in 12th and 3rd in Silver Am. 4th in Silver Am went to the number 8 Team Abba Racing car, the Mercedes AMG GT3, with the number 77 car finishing 10th in GT3 Pro-Am, Enduro Motorsport in a McLaren 720S. In 15th place and 5th in GT3 Silver Am, Team Parker Racing Alex Martin and Charles Bateman in a Porsche 911 GT3 R, the 991.2 car. They finished ahead of the number 19 car, 6th in GT3 Silver Am. This is Blackthorn running an Aston Martin Vantage AMR GT3. Paddock Motorsport came next. They were in 17th overall and 11th in Pro-Am with the number 11 Paddock Motorsport McLaren 720S GT3 Evo ahead of a similarly equipped Greystone GT outfit, the number 24 car, in 18th and 12th in Pro-Am. We then get to the top of GT4. In 19th place and 1st place in GT4 Silver, Optimum Motorsport McLaren Artura. In GT4 Pro-Am, the second place in GT4 class, the 12 car, one motorsport Mercedes AMG, took the win there. The second GT4 silver car was Academy Motorsport, the Ford Mustang GT4, the number 61 car, who finished ahead of the number 21 Century Motorsport car, Aston Martin Vantage AMR GT4. That was a guest entry, so it took the trophy for finishing second in Pro-Am, but it doesn't take the points. 25th place, 4th in GT4 Silver, the number 18 Team Parker Racing Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 RS Club Sport. I still need to take a breath after I say that one every time. With 26th place and 4th in GT4 Pro-Am going to the number 14 BMW M4 GT4 of Century Motorsport. The number 7 car finished in 27th place, 5th in GT4 Pro-Am. Paddock Motorsports McLaren Artura, ahead of the R Racing Aston Martin Vantage AMR GT4, number 23 car, which took 5th in GT4 Silver. 6th in GT4 Silver, 29th overall, went to the number 17 car. This is R Motorsports McLaren Artura GT4. At the number 55 GT4 Pro-Am entered, 6th place finishing car for Raceway Motorsport Michael Kreese and Tom Holland, a Ginetta G56 GT4, and I've just slipped up and given you the first set of driver names. I knew it was going to happen eventually. That was 30th place overall. 31st overall and 7th in GT3 Silver Am was the number 42 car. This is Race Lab, the McLaren 720S GT3 Evo, ahead of GT3 Pro-Am entered Team Parker Racing car, Nick Jones and Scott Malvern, in the Porsche 911 GT3 R992, and I've just given you more drivers when I said I wouldn't. 33rd place, 14th in GT3 Pro-Am, the number 88 Garage 59 McLaren 720S Evo, and then 34th place and 7th in GT4 Silver, the 62 car Academy Motorsport Ford Mustang GT4. 35th place overall, 7th place in GT4 Pro-Am went to Race Lab's number 29 McLaren Artura, with the number 86 the only GT4 Am entry, and therefore the winner in GT4 Am, the Toro Verde Ginetta G56 GT4. That was the last of the classified runners. We've got non-classified runners for Orange Racing by JMH, the number 67, the number 84 Greystone GT single round entry, McLaren 720S didn't finish either. We have Simpson Motorsport and James Kay. This is a guesting GT4 car, BMW M4 GT4, the number 38 didn't classify. And the number 13 Race Lab McLaren 720S GT3 Evo also failed to classify. They crossed the line, but they didn't complete enough laps. They were 45 laps down at the end of the race. And then the only other entries here, we've got the non-classified in GT4 Silver for Toro Verde, Esme Hawkey and Joe Wheeler, the Ginetta G56 GT4 number 80, and then the two cars that were disqualified. Dan Harper, came to Silverstone for your first crack at the Silverstone 500?
Yes.
And you've won it. How does that feel?
Pretty special, yeah. Didn't expect it. This how the weekend sort of was going for us. We were like, when are we going to get a break? But it came in the right place. And wow, what a way to do it. And yeah, I just can't thank Darren, Century, BMW enough to give me the opportunity. And the car was flying.
For a professional driver like yourself, the RAC trophy over there, is that something that you're really glad to add to your CV as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, first crack at it, like you say. It's a special one. It's the blue ribbon event of British GT. And yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. Can't believe it.
Talk us through that final stint after the safety car went in. You had the Lamborghini in front of you, had to chase it down and get past it. Talk us through that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it was really hard work. I got past the first two like pretty easily. And then I was like, right, let's go for Sandy, but he was flying. And to be honest, if it wasn't for a bit of backmarker help, I don't know if I would have got there. So yeah, it came to us. And obviously the overtakes, they were just They just happened that quickly. I can't even remember them. So it'll be nice to watch it back and see what actually happened.
Now, you've won all over Europe, all over the world. How does this one rate alongside the... Because the Nürburgring you've run, you've won that outright, haven't you, the 24?
Not at the 24. Yeah, just class. But hopefully we'll do that in a couple of weeks. it feels amazing. It's only my second weekend in British GT and our second as a pairing. We need to remember it's only Darren's third year in motorsport, so he's came on so much. And I think the others might have to be scared for what might happen later in the season. So, it feels amazing.
Fantastic. Congratulations to you. I'll see if I can grab Darren briefly now.
Yeah.
Darren, can I borrow you briefly?
Yeah, sure, mate. Yeah.
First full year in British GT. You really impressed when you came to the Donington Decider last year. Did you imagine second race weekend in your first full year in British GT, you'd be holding the RAC trophy?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially given where we had to start from. I would say Donington last year, we just had no idea what to expect. I'd only driven the car a couple of times and it was my second year. So to be honest, that was completely unfathomable. Whereas here we thought we'll be strong, so at least we had that going for us. But to think that we were going to win it, absolutely not. But competitive, yes.
How was it for you preparing for this race meeting? Because we had wet practice, wet qualifying, well, no qualifying for really. I think you got about a lap and a half in qualifying, didn't you?
No, we got zero laps in qualifying. I did an out and an in twice. It was pretty difficult one for us because in FP2 we were just trying some stuff out and getting some brakes sorted and then next thing we're P18 for the race. So, but to be honest, that just kind of put us all really close together as a team, and we knew we were going to be strong, and I knew I just had a job to do for all the guys in the garage. My mission was to get that car sent as hard as I could and get it as far up the order as I can to give Dan a reasonable position. So I was quite happy to go from 18th to 10th, and then Dan just made leaps and bounds again. So I knew by the second stint all I needed to do was just put in a nice consistent stint, and I knew he'd finish the job, which he did.
About the BMW, because we've seen it all over the world in the hands of pro drivers doing really well, IMSA, Nürburgring, Fanatec, all over the place. What's it like from an AMS point of view, that BMW?
It's such a pleasure to drive. From an AMS perspective, it's very easy to get on with, very comfortably. I think by the first afternoon, I felt at home in the car, and then we were just eking time out, which really surprised me. To be honest, I took quite a lot of convincing by those close to me to give it a go the end of last year. I didn't think with the amount of time that I've been racing that I should be ready for something like that. And I just thought I would just watch it back. I just thought, actually, do you know what? I'll give it a go. There's plenty of people here that I trust and they say I should give it a go. So I did. So it goes to show you how strong the car is for the AM driver. The support from BMW is phenomenal. All the guys that they send to the track, notwithstanding the best GT driver in the world, Dan Harper.
There's nine different amateur drivers that have been saying the same thing this weekend.
But mine's the best.
Well, recent evidence would suggest.
Yeah, but I'm most likely to be correct now because we're currently holding a big trophy.
But it's just congratulations to you. Congratulations to the entire team. A fantastic achievement.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Nathan, so you turned up to Silverstone 500. You've got four cars across two manufacturers.
Yeah.
You've got, obviously, different classes. And it feels like I can't move in there for falling over trophies. How's your Silverstone 500 been?
Amazing, really. Absolutely amazing. We've been very well prepared this year with the GT3. We knew we were fast, and Alton certainly didn't reflect our pace. So we knew we were good, we're fully aware that we're not quite as quick in the wet. FP2 with the qualifying situation definitely didn't help us. We weren't doing FP2 with in mind that we qualify with that. So obviously we started 19th, but car was mega. We had a couple of safety cars which worked in our favour, and Darren and Dan just did an absolutely outstanding job. bring the race win home. And obviously with the GT4 guys, you know, the Aston.
P1, baby.
That's one happy driver. With the Aston, it wasn't even really a clean race. We had plenty going on, but we were just there at the end of it. David got a knock from the Merc, and he had contact with the wall, so we were actually very lucky to finish it. But Carl and Lewis and also Chris and MJ got really unfortunate with the last safety car because we just couldn't box them with the driving time that was left. So we had to stay out whilst the safety car was out, and that scuppered them. So that was their loss, and that was David and Bradley's game. But actually, David and Bradley could have possibly got an overall podium. It just slipped away at the very end. But, you know, three cars with trophies and one just away from the podium. What a mega result for the team, and it's been a very, very busy start to the season for us, and, you know, times it's been stressful and there's been a bit tension, and this is just exactly what the team need to give us what I actually believe we do deserve, and B, just that gives a massive morale boost, so we will be very, very happy in our day off tomorrow.
So, team manager's mind on, team owner's mind on, you've had wet and dry testing. You've had greasy to very wet practice and qualifying.
Yeah.
You've got Dan out in £500,000 of your money and Sandy out in £500,000 of Mark's money, and they're going at it hammer and tongs. What's going through your head?
Do you know what? Absolutely nothing. You know, Dan's got a real kill mode, and we sort of told him, look, just unleash the beast. But they're both factory. I think Sandy's a factory driver. If not, he has been. And Dan's obviously a factory driver, and these boys, they just don't make mistakes. They're clean, they're hard, they race hard, and they race fair. And, you know, they went side by side for a few corners, and they gave each other racing room. And ultimately, we knew we had good pace, and we also knew that we had a really good attacking tool with the Beamer, because it's got a lot of straight line speed. And we knew if we could get on the back of Sandy, that we could get past him. And first few laps, you know, Sandy looked like he was edging us a little bit, and we thought, what's going to happen here? But it just looked like we managed to look after our tyres a little bit more, maybe, or maybe Sandy was a little bit unlucky with traffic, I don't know. But when we got the opportunity, Dan took it, and I knew he would. He's the boy.
Now, you could put the world's best factory driver in the car, and Darren thinks you put the world's best factory driver in the car. I'm sure you think you have as well. But without the AM, it doesn't matter. Darren really delivered for you today, didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah, and we're well aware that, you know, whilst it's nice to put it on pole, you know, with all the factory drivers that are around there, actually this whole championship really is about the AM. And, you know, Darren has dedicated, you know, most of his life to this year, to making himself up to speed, and every time he gets in the car he goes quicker, and he's really, really in tune with everything, and he's in tune with Dan, he's in tune with the team, and that just shows that, you know, we can deliver the results when the process is right, and the process has been right. And you know, our whole leaving no stone unturned philosophy this year is sort of starting to pay off a little bit. It felt like Alton, as I say, was undeserved. We deserved a little bit better, and this weekend we've got it. But it's a long season. We've got a success penalty for Donington now, so we just want to be in the hunt at the end of the year, and things at the minute are moving in the right direction.
Congratulations to you. Congratulations to the entire team.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sean, it looked very, very good about 20 minutes away from the end. Didn't end quite the way you were hoping for. But how was your Silverstone 500? I think second place is still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the run into Silverstone, not been in the car since Alton. So to have a wet Friday and then Saturday being what we all know, it was very wet and cancelled qualifying. You know, when we went live for the Silverstone 500, that was the first time back out on slicks since maybe qualifying in Alton. So, and that's a few weeks ago. So it's a bit of an eye-opener. Took a little while to get into the groove, get the fuel burn gone, and just settle in, really. I'm not sure what my hopes were, but I think it's got to be where we started. So we were hoping for maybe a sixth or better. So obviously to get second and to be featured at the front, you know, I mean, that's better than we probably hoped for. We're over the moon.
is a really good result. And of course, teammate car won the silver M class as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
So for Barwell, your new family,
yeah.
obviously a great day.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Off the back of Monza, gaining some momentum with the Evo 2 car. It's all about learning, and there's still more to come.
So the Evo 2 car is a very drastically different from the inside of the car compared to the old car, or different, from what you've heard?
Different enough, yes, I believe so.
Well, congratulations to you, congratulations to Sandy. Go and enjoy the rest of that bottle.
Thank you.
Greg Brown, new car, new team. Win on the Silverstone 500, how does that feel?
Yeah, amazing, really, mate. Really, 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 really pleased with it. You know, everyone's done such a fantastic job. You know, we were struggling as well in FP1 and 2. We had new gearboxes and all sorts of issues going on. So I think we only had about, I only drove about 25 minutes before the race. So, you know, to come out with that result, which is amazing. Really, really pleased.
Between the 90 and the 27, the team's been through the ringer this weekend, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Definitely, yeah, it's good.
So how was your race out there then? It's quite competitive.
So first stint that I did was very tiring. The aircon wasn't working very well. We got past Janetta, which was good. Then obviously Charles switched over, and then he did his stint very well. My last stint was very relaxing because I knew where I was. I wasn't trying to fight anyone. I just stuck behind the two cars in front. It was the winds, you know, the wind was in the bag, so I didn't want to throw it away. So it was a very relaxing finish. Very relaxing finish to the race. It was good.
Now, you've obviously got experience of multiple GT4 cars because you raced with Sentry in fact, you took the title with Sentry, didn't you?
Was that?
Did you take the title with Sentry?
No, we didn't. That was the year before. I was with Will, though, who won it the year before. So he was the champion. Yes. And he was with me last year.
I have a photo of your BMW, which is my go-to photo for a background.
Hey, it's so sick, that car. Oh, look, the bonnet. Yes.
But the new one,
yeah,
equally good looking.
It looks just as nice.
How is the Artura compared to the BMW?
Artura is, I think Optimum are on top of it. So I think, you know, I think we're ahead of everyone else at the moment in terms of the Artura. We've got loads coming as well, which is really good. Artura, it feels like home to me. Whereas the Beamer was a bit more outside my comfort zone to drive. I feel a lot more at home in this car. You know, the engine behind me is my thing, I think.
You've driven the 570 as well, weren't you? McLaren
yeah.
DDP, weren't you, as well?
No, that wasn't us, but I did have the 570.
I'm identifying you in all the wrong cars, aren't I?
It's good. It was Balfe who was with. Yeah. You know, we managed to get a result out of that. You know, the car was never the best at that stage anyway, the 570. We managed to get, you know, a win out of that, which was really good. So yeah.
So the Artura is a definite step forward compared to the 570.
Yeah, it's just a big step. I think it's a big step up in, you know, because anything I've ever driven in terms of GT4 is a really good car. It works really well.
Now Donington Park will probably suit the Artura quite well, but you'll go there with what they call in compensation time now.
Success penalty. Donington's. I look forward to Donington. I live 10 minutes from there. It's my home track, my favourite track, and it's my quickest track, I'd say. So. I think we'll be fine, you know, especially considering that, you know, considering we're going to get extra seconds in the pit stop, I think we'll do okay still. So
don't fret the compensation time, going for another win.
Say again?
Don't fret the compensation time, you're going for another win, yeah?
100%, mate, always.
Fantastic. Always. Congratulations to you, congratulations to Charles and the entire team. Right,
thank you very much, mate. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. British GT News.
So, on to the news ahead of Donington Park then, and the first bit of news we have for you is another GT3 car. It's not going to be as big an entry as it was for Silverstone, but it's still grown by 1 to 37. So the car we have is a second car from an existing team. The Sentry Motorsport team are going to run a second BMW M4 GT3, and it's not just for this Donington Park, it is for both. So both this round and the Donington Decider. The car is being run for Simon Watts, who raced with Rocket Team RJN back in 2022, and for Jake Hill, who raced previously in British GT with AMD Tuning and the Porsche 911 GT4 car. That was back in 2015. Now, obviously, he's not done anything of any real note since. He's just gone out and become one of the leading drivers in the British Touring Car Championship. So, nothing to write home about there. Obviously, Jake is currently racing for Westbury Racing in the BMW 330e M Sport, because they're hybrids now in the BTCC. So he's staying with the brand family, having previously tested a number of different GT3 cars, but never actually raced one. So he's driven a Mercedes SLS, which will be good preparation for the big, grunty, straight six turbocharged BMW that he's getting to grips with this weekend. He's also tested the McLaren 720S, so he'll know a little bit about the majority of his rivals. And the two have raced together in historics for a number of years. It's great to have another car in the class. Great to see Century Motorsport continuing to attract new talent. And depending on the livery, I'm not certain if it's great to see another one of those front ends in the championship, but another car's always good. The other big bit of news for Donington Park is that we don't know who is currently leading the GT4 Championship. We don't know who is going to be leading the GT4 Championship after Donington Park, and we don't know who has what success seconds. The reason for this goes back to Silverstone. Raceway Motorsport have filed an appeal against the disqualification of the number 56 Ginetta. Now, they can do this any time up to 2 weeks after the disqualification, and they've got that in with a day or two to spare. They've appealed to the national governing body, Motorsport UK, which has informed SRO that there is an appeal now pending. It's going to go to the National Court of Arbitration for Sport for a hearing on June the 5th. Now, the details of this one. During the last safety car at Silverstone, which was just about the 2 hour mark-ish, about 2 hours and 10 minutes when the orange motorsport car and the team brick car came together, the number 56 car was in the pits as the safety car came out and completed its service and went down to the end of the pit lane and then drove through the red light at the end of the pit lane and joined the circuit. Now, they were issued a drive through a stop and go penalty straight away. They appealed that. It was rescinded. It was then reinstated when incontrovertible evidence of the offence was presented in form of video of the car running through a red light. And it's not like the light went red as it went through it. The light was red as the car drove up to it. The driver drove through it. What we understand from the commentary at the time is on the orders of the team, because it was safe to go, was what we heard had been said. And this is all second or third or even fourth hand. So it's not, it's not gospel, but we did see with our own eyes this Ginetta driving through a red light. Now, they have appealed the penalty. They have appealed the disqualification for not serving the penalty. And quite frankly, this is utter bunkum. This is a team playing it out, rolling the dice as many times as they can to try and save a win that they should never have had. And it's below them. They've put everybody into uncertainty because they messed up. And we're usually very careful to give a balanced view here. But there was evidence, incontrovertible evidence. There is video footage of the crime being committed, and the punishment fits the crime. The punishment that they refused to take. Now, because they refused to serve their stop and go penalty, they were later disqualified from the race. This is normal. If you do not serve a penalty within the prescribed time, disqualification is what happens next. So, again, we tried to present a balanced argument here, but you done it. There's no doubting that you done it. Don't mess up everybody else's season because you done it. The upshot is the results in GT4 of the Silverstone 500 are provisional once again. and that the success seconds for Donington Park now cannot be issued because we don't know who finished where at Silverstone. So this procedure was established a while ago. The procedure says that what they do is they race without success seconds at Donington Park, although the silver seconds, they call it compensation time now, don't they? But the silver compensation time can be served. But they don't know who's placed where last time out, so they don't know who gets the 20 seconds and who gets the 15 and whatever. So they're not going to do that. What will happen is once the court rules, they will then apply the time penalties retrospectively to the cars that were supposed to have them at Donington Park. And then once the result of Silverstone is set, we can then get the result for Donington Park. So we're going to have a situation where trophies are issued at Donington Park to possibly the wrong people. My mind just... I don't get it. I don't get why they feel the need to string this one out. There is no defence for what they did. They may have judged it safe, but the race director didn't, and the race director's word is final. That brings us to the end of the bad news. The good news is that there is currently a raffle going on. This raffle you can enter on the British GT website, britishgt.com, to win bus tickets, which sounds so much fun. The bus tickets in question are for a Routemaster bus, which is going to lap Donington Park with the GT3 and GT4 cars. So this is Circuit Safari. It's a Japanese concept that British GT has done once before, back at Silverstone, and it was quite a while ago, because we have the old shape Aston Martins and the old Nissan 370Zs in the photo on the article. I can't remember exactly when it was. There'll be a 15-minute ride around the circuit immediately after morning warm-up on Sunday, and the entire grid will form up behind and one by one be allowed to overtake the bus so that passengers even, can take a track-based look at these cars in action. So if you want to enter this raffle, which will give you seats on this bus and a VIP experience, hospitality in the SRO hospitality unit and access to the grid walk, go to the British GT website and enter the raffle for the chance to win a chance at the Circuit Safari. It is worth noting that all passengers must be 12 years or over and must be at least 1.35 metres in height. Any passenger under 18 must have a signed parental or guardian permission to participate in the Circuit Safari. So that is how you can win yourself a place on the Circuit Safari. That brings us to the end of this episode of the British Sports Car Podcast. I want to say thank you to you all for listening and spending the time with me as we talk British GT Championship. Race action this weekend from Donington Park. You'll be able to get live pictures of qualifying, warm-up and the race on the British GT YouTube channel. You'll also be able to follow coverage on social media and on our website, britscpodcast.co.uk. And the links to the live pictures and to the live timing and scoring will be on the Donington Park microsite when it goes live sometime tomorrow. For now, all I can do is say thank you very much for listening. Have a great couple of days, and I look forward to hopefully seeing some of you at Donington Park for the fourth round of the Intelligent Money British GT Championship. Stay well.
Thanks for listening to the British Sports Car Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on socials at BritSC Podcast. This podcast is a Storm Vixen creative production in conjunction with RPS Driven Media.